We're doing very good on time, which means we might have a surprise in the end. Now we have Esther Weltevree and Anna Helmholt, and they're going to talk about digital methods repurposing Twitter and Google for web research.
Okay, thank you. We are Esther Weltevree, and that's Anna Helmholt, and we are PhD candidates at the Digital Methods Initiative. The Digital Methods Initiative is a research program at the University of Amsterdam, directed by Richard Rogers. We are a group of programmers, analysts, and designers, and some of us, or some, are here too, Marieke, Eric, and Koen too. The Digital Methods Initiative aims to develop medium-specific methodology to do research with the web. And medium-specific methodology means that we make use of the web's native techniques to do research. We actually aim to repurpose those techniques. In the next 15 minutes, we will get into this in more detail by looking at two recent projects we worked on this summer. Where we repurposed Twitter and Google. So instead of studying those devices themselves, the question is, how can we use it? The first project is Twitter Narrative Machine, hashtag Iran Election. In press and academia, Twitter is often described as either the next big thing by enthusiasts or banal by pessimists. And so our question is then, can we debanalize Twitter by filtering out the story of the crisis? How may Twitter be repurposed into a storytelling machine? The basis of the project is the search functionality of Twitter and the query hashtag Iran election. So this is how it usually is presented to you. The latest tweet first. The first step in the methodology is to reverse this real-time order of tweets and also archive them. And you can see that here. The reversed Twitter. Here you can see we now have about 600,000 tweets within the Iran election space. The Twitter narrative machine tells the story of the day-to-day unfolding of the Iran election crisis as seen through Twitter. The project is a collection of all the tweets that have been tagged Iran election from the first one on the 10th of June till the 30th of June. The tweets are organized chronologically, as opposed to the reverse chronology that Twitter uses. We like to call that reverse real-time. The second step is to filter out the retweets per day. So in order to filter out the most prominent storylines, we chose to focus on retweets. Retweets are the messages that disseminate across Twitter space, and the aim is to kind of boil them down to a few retweets a day. This is the end result of this particular project. And the top retweets capture the crisis from the recounting of an Arab proverb to the eyewitness report of the protests and beatings. There are acts of solidarity, warnings, and cries for help. We went a step further, step three, and we aim to filter out sub-narratives within that Iran election space. Let's see. I would like to briefly take you through the story of censorship and censorship circumvention. So these are all the retweets that mention either censorship or censorship circumvention. And the story focuses on various censorship tactics by Iran authorities. In the beginning, on June 11th, it begins with tactics varying from blocking specific websites such as YouTube, Twitter, BBC, Facebook, but also SMS, and also the slowing down of the total internet connection in Iran. Soon, activism to help Iranians follows, for instance, by the creation of proxies and calls for attacking certain websites. Soon it becomes clear that authorities use Twitter also to locate and hunt down dissidents. And here too action follows, such as calls to change profile location to Iran. This makes it also particularly difficult for researchers to kind of ground the people on Twitter. So where are they based? Because a lot of people in the US and Europe, all over the world, also set their profile location to Iran. Yeah, here again, also a few calls to attack certain and hack certain websites. And finally, there are at the end of June 30th, there are reports that claim Iran agents that are on Twitter as well and posting fake proxy links in order to locate dissidents as well. Twitter users here respond by instead hunting down the government agents and exposing them on Twitter. Yeah, as you can see, the story is still unfolding on Twitter. This is not the end of this story. So this is still a work in progress. But it is a proof of concept that Twitter can be kind of debanalized and be made into a storytelling machine. The narrative machine is available online at reteut.net. And a login account is at issuecrawler.net. And next up is Anne Helmond, and she will be talking about repurposing Google for web research. Thank you.
So this is one of the next projects we did this summer with the Digital Methods Initiative Summer School. This is a project we did within a week with a small group of people. The title is The Nationality of Issues and Right Types. The research question we asked this week was, can we make Google into a machine that tells us what's going on in a specific country? Google, how is it normally studied? If we look at Google critiques, then a good indicator of a Google critique is the slogan, don't be evil, is mentioned in the introduction, and then you know it's going into a Google critique. Or search engine optimization is also a very famous Google critique. But both are Google studies. And what we would like to do is Google-enabled studies. So we don't study Google itself. We don't try to figure out the black box of Google. But what we like to do is use Google to study issues. What we did for this project is the focus is how can we use Google to how can we repurpose Google to study the nationality of issues? We asked, can we make Google into a storytelling machine that shows us what types of rights are important per country? Or can we make Google tell what's going on in a country? What's going on in a specific country? Which rights are important per country? In order to do so, we used national Googles. And by national Googles, we mean the country versions of Google. Here you see just a very small excerpt of all the, we call them the Googles, of all the Googles that exist. And we used these national Googles to do our research. The first step is we queried the term rights in a national terminology per different Google country. For example, in Mexico, we used derechos do. In the Brazilian Google, we used direitos. And because we have a variety of people within our research group, we combined all our language skills. We have people from Moldavia, Italy, Germany, Lithuania. So we combined our language skills and we queried all the national Googles that we could possibly Google in our native languages. We thus queried rights for the top 100, the first 100 results of Google. And then we looked at the top 10 unique rights per result page of 100. So this is, for example, Moldavia. And I don't speak Moldavian, but Drepturili, that's the query for rights. And then you get 100 results. And then we looked at 10 unique rights within that country. The second step is some Googles represent countries where multiple languages are present. For example, Canada, we queried the two dominant languages per country in Canada. We did English and French. These are all the Googles we eventually were able to query. And also, for example, the Swiss space, we also did French and German. Then we visualized these results because we had a very nice spreadsheet with tons of countries, tons of rights, but we wanted to visualize these results in order to give a one focus view. We used icons to represent specific issues. For example, this is the icon for Islam and women rights. This is the final result of our project. It represents all the issues per country, and we will zoom into these issues to see how Google can tell us specifically something about a country. Here, for example, you see Switzerland, France, Portugal, Spain, Italy, Romania, Moldavia, Turkey, and Japan. And the blue icons represent an issue that is not unique. It's an issue that you can see in different countries as well. For example, human rights is a very general issue, privacy rights. But you can see in Japan, the fourth unique issue that's present there is the computer programmers' rights. So in Japan, computer programmers' rights is a very important issue. And it's the only one that came across the 24 countries we searched for. Italy is also a very interesting one, which has the right to oblivion. Italy has the right to information, but Italy also has the right to forget, which is very interesting in the case of search engines, which never forget anything. And finally, I would like to present Finland, which the second important right in Finland is the everyman's right, which means the freedom to roam around in nature, which we thought was very sweet and typical Finnish. So with this project, we try to visualize a country culturally according to Google. What does Google say about a country, country's issues? How can we use Google to tell us something about this country? We have a small village with the Digital Methods Initiative. So if you have any questions about our projects, research methods, or just would like to chat with us, we will be here having coffee. And you're more than welcome at the Digital Methods Initiative Village. And of course, we have a wiki page, digitalmethods.net. And we welcome you to read it and ask us questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Esther and Anna. Next speaker is going to be Wouter Tebbens. He's going to talk about the Free Technology Academy, or how you can